All right.
All right, well, this is Commissioner Tao. I will call tonight's meeting of the North Bend Planning Commission to order. It's Thursday, June 25th. We'll start with the roll call. I'll go ahead and go around the virtual room and I'll call commissioners by name. Please say present. Commissioner Blanco?
Present.
Commissioner Bush?
Present.
Commissioner Torgerson?
Present.
And Commissioner Bovers?
Present.
I think Commissioner Moe sent an email that she was not available tonight, and I believe Commissioner Greenberg had also sent an earlier email that he was not available. So I think we have everybody that we're going to have. Can I get a motion to excuse Commissioners Moe and Greenberg from tonight's meeting?
This is Commissioner Bush. I make a motion to excuse Commissioners Moe and Greenberg.
Motion has been made by Commissioner Bush. Can I get a second, please?
Second.
Was that Commissioner Torgerson?
Yes, it was.
It's been moved by Commissioner Moe, Commissioner Bush, seconded by Commissioner Torgerson to excuse Commissioners Moe and Greenberg. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Commissioners Moe and Greenberg are excused. Next item is opportunity for public comment. This comment can be on anything that is not slated for a public hearing. We currently have two items for a public hearing tonight, floodplain management and the overlay district. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak tonight on anything other than those topics? Hearing none, we'll move on. Can I get a motion to approve tonight's agenda?
Commissioner Torgerson, I move that we approve tonight's agenda.
Excellent. Is there a second?
Commissioner Blanco, and I'll second.
It's been moved by Commissioner Torgerson, seconded by Commissioner Blanco to approve tonight's agenda. That includes the consent agenda, which has one item, and that's the parking regulation that we took action on last week. All in favor of approving tonight's agenda, including the consent agenda, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. We have an agenda for this evening. Item number four is approval of the June 11th Planning Commission meeting. Can I please get a motion to approve the minutes from June 11th?
This is Commissioner Bush making a motion to approve the minutes of the June 11th meeting.
Thank you. A second?
Torgerson, second.
Moved by Commissioner Bush, seconded by Commissioner Torgerson to approve the minutes of the June 11th Planning Commission meeting. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. The June 11th minutes are approved. The next item is a public hearing and potential commission action on the floodplain management regulations. We've talked about this at a couple of meetings. Jesse, are you on?
Yes, I'm on. I could give a brief introduction if now's the time.
Yeah, please go ahead and give the introduction and then I'll open the public hearing and see if there's anybody who wishes to comment.
Okay. Yeah, as most present know, the city of North Bend is in a floodplain. We have the South Fork and the Middle Fork of the Snoqualmie Rivers that flow through town. With that, through federal regulations, we participate in the National Flood Insurance Program. We actually, within the program, we go above and beyond. We're a part of the community rating system. We are a five of that, which means that we do extra things beyond the bare minimum. And as a result, those who are floodplain policyholders within the city, slightly less than 600 people, get a 25% discount. Periodically, there's changes to maps and model ordinances that the city has to adopt or variations thereof. Most recently, there was a countywide map update within King County. The floodplain within the city of North Bend was not remapped, but parts of the county were. And so it's a countywide update. What the difference for North Bend is that our maps are going digital, which means that the way we determine base flood elevation will be different, easier, less time taken for development reviews. But along with that is a Washington State model ordinance, which is the majority of what we're talking about tonight. So that affects within what is currently within our critical areas code, North Bend Municipal Code 1412, which is our flood floodplain management ordinance. Along with that, some definitions that are associated that are linked to floodplain management in 14.05.040. So those are the both of the recommended changes that we will be going over tonight. These changes have been reviewed twice by our state National Flood Insurance Program Coordinator, David Radabaugh, who is with the Department of Ecology. And update since the introduction 2 weeks ago, we have gotten a FEMA review. I sent a last minute plea and our request was granted, and good news, there was not any major changes within the code. A bit of actually improvement suggestions, lots of small kind of additions to exemptions and clarifications. FEMA did make one note about concern that the floodplain management ordinance is within the critical areas ordinance and that exemptions within other critical areas could potentially be interpreted as exemptions for floodplain management, which is a legitimate concern. We reply that we would like to address this in the future or just have a more discussion with FEMA in the future. Just opening up our critical areas ordinance at this point would make it so we wouldn't adopt the ordinance on time. Something that I forgot to mention in this introduction that I've mentioned in times past is the updates were announced February 19th of this year, and then a 180-day clock started, which ends August 19th to more or less adopt or incorporate the model ordinance into code. So we have until August 19th, and opening up our entire critical areas ordinance at this point is not a good idea, because if we don't adopt by August 19th, we suspended from the NFIP as an end result. And so we had a SEPA comment period. No public commented. The SEPA comment period ended the 22nd on Monday. We did have basically our review comments from the NFIP coordinator and the FEMA representative were our two comments, but they're both regulators, so it's technically not a public comment. We took it as actual code updates that we had to make. So concluding my introduction, staff recommends to move forward with these proposed changes. We feel that the code is now that it's been addressed by FEMA is in a state that is ready to be accepted. And we recommend that the Planning Commission accepts the changes so they can move to the July 21st council meeting so we can meet the August 19th deadline. Thank you.
Thanks, Jesse. All right, I think now we're ready to open the public hearing. I'm not sure if we have any members of the public, but at this time, I will open the public hearing to take any testimony on the floodplain management regulations. For the record, the time is 7:10 p.m. Are there any members of the public who would like to offer comment on the proposed amendments to North Bend Municipal Code 14.12 Floodplain Management Regulations? Again, any members of the public wish to testify on the proposed floodplain management regulations? And a final call. Hearing none, and I know we have received written testimony, which will be part of the record. I will close the public hearing. It's 7:11 p.m. I'm not sure if that's a record for the shortest public hearing or not, but we'll move forward now with any questions, comments, suggestions, and potential action for the Planning Commission. Any commissioners that would like to start us off with questions or comments?
Commissioner Belanco will have some comments.
All right, Judy.
First, can am I on? Ready?
Yes.
Okay. First, I'd like to thank our city staff for their work with FEMA in making the necessary amendments to the floodplain regulations. I appreciate your diligence and hard work, Jesse, Jamie, all involved. Thank you very much. With regard to North Bend Municipal Code 14.2 amendments, this is an administrative function. We're not implementing any new fees, taxes, or imposing a cost to our city. This is what we have to do to keep the National Flood Insurance Program, which allows our citizens to have federally backed mortgages for their homes, which FEMA has determined lie within the 100-year floodplain. Our city tells us that there are approximately 600 policyholders within this area. The city currently has a community rating system of 5, which means 600 of our fellow residents' flood insurance premiums are at a 25% discount. Again, if you have a federally backed mortgage within and your home is within the floodplain, it is a requirement that you have a flood insurance policy in place and for you to know that the only insurance available is through FEMA. I support our CED committee members who wish to stay the course and bring this proposed action to full council introduction at the July 21st meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other commissioners with comments, questions, or suggestions?
This is Commissioner Bush. I was just curious what the timeline is to update the critical areas ordinances to, sounds like you're removing, you're taking out the floodplain, like that part of it. So it'll be a separate document, but like what the timeline is to update the CAO ordinance?
There's no timeline at this moment. It was a suggestion and concern voiced by FEMA to us as something that we took it as something that we should address eventually. Okay. So for now, the focus is just to get these code updates ratified, and then we will be in discussion with FEMA at that point, and we can update the Planning Commission as that happens. So no dates set yet.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Any other commissioners with comments?
I have a question, and it might be a little bit off topic. This is Commissioner Torgerson. The city currently has a CRS rating of 5, meaning the insurance premiums are at a 25% discount. Is that, like, you know how we have the special flood hazard areas? Does it relate to certain flood areas, or is it all of North Bend?
So Christina Woolman's on the line and can help clarify. I think within the special flood hazard area, it's 25%, and I'd have to pull up the chart. Maybe Christine knows it offhand, but if you're outside of the special flood hazard area and you elect, if you volunteer to have a policy, I believe the amount is slightly less, maybe 20. Christina, do you happen to know that off the top of your head?
If you're outside of the 100-year floodplain and you have a flood insurance policy, it is a 5% discount. And if you're in what they call a zone X, which is 1 foot of flooding or less, then it is a 10% discount, I believe. But when you're in the 100-year floodplain, it is that full 25%.
And is all the special flood hazard areas, is that considered the 100 flood, or yeah. Is that completely different?
That's the 100-year floodplain.
Okay, great. Thanks for the clarification.
All right, thank you. Any other commissioners?
I've got a few things, Commissioner Bovers. First, I think going back to something that we talked about a little bit in the last meeting when the introduction, a couple questions. There was a discussion of what a North Bend run update to the map would cost. And along those same lines, I'm wondering, first, do you guys have off the top of your heads, you know, when the map that they didn't update currently, do you know when that was the last updated?
I believe that was 2005.
Okay. And would we anticipate that helping or hurting us having an updated map?
Colloquial knowledge is it would help, but nothing's guaranteed until the engineering analysis happens.
Okay. Along the same process, thought process of whether or not that would be something to look towards. Obviously, the time frame here doesn't allow for that, but I was wondering if that was, you know, worth doing or worth looking at for the future versus if that would actually hurt us to push for that.
I Christina can add, but my general thought is I think it's a good idea. I think the data is not the latest and greatest, whereas, you know, if it is in fact a flood hazard, as what the best available science tells us, then we should treat it as that. And if it's not a flood hazard, then we should be able to develop what it's zoned for. I think just knowing more about a hazard in general, whether it's positive or negative to future development, is something that the city, you know, would help with planning for the future.
The definitions page. Also, I did want to notice or say the packet coming out in just one PDF is pretty helpful. I do like that. Hopefully that helps to go through things. So on page 11 of the PDF, definitions E, is E4, is that the essential facility has the same meaning as essential facility defined in the ASC E24. Is that, this might be just me not knowing definition page well enough, but is it common to reference to a different document in your definitions? Looking through the rest of this, it doesn't look like it does. We do that somewhere else versus just bringing in that definition from the ASC E24 and putting it here.
So that's national standards for civil engineering that FEMA's adopted, and we do cite it in some of the later sections of 1412. I would say it's not abnormal.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the last, it's an easy one, hopefully. Let me bring it up here, the page. On page 22 of the document, 14.12.030. No, sorry, wrong one. 14.12.230.
I'm sorry, can you say that again? Microsoft Teams kind of jumped. What was the code for?
Section 14.12.230.
Okay.
And that's page, yeah, variances, page 35.
Yes. So this is a new section. We haven't previously had it before. This is a lot of this is boilerplate from the model ordinance that FEMA or ecology through FEMA is pushing. This is generally, the language is generally from Department of Ecology.
I think we've just got a typo in number 4. Upon a determination that failure to grant the variance result in an unusual or exceptional hardship.
Yeah. James, thank you. You seem to keep catching me. All right.
No problem.
I'll make a note of that. Thank you.
That's it for me.
Commissioner Greenberg probably would have caught that if he were here too.
All right. Commissioner Bovers, anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Any other commissioners?
This is Commissioner Bush. I just wanted to echo Jesse. I think that updating the floodplain maps would be a really wise, good investment for the city.
Okay, I think we're ready to consider taking action. So Jesse, basically, you're recommending that we approve the changes contained in 14.12, the floodplain management regulations, to submit to FEMA. Is that correct?
For council approval to submit to FEMA and 14.05.040, the definitions associated with it.
Okay. Did you have the recommended motion in the packet somewhere? I didn't recall seeing it. I see the recommended action. I just don't see the verbiage for the. So I want to make sure when if somebody wants to make a motion that we know what we're moving to adopt or to approve.
It doesn't look like I. Motion to adopt the ordinance.
So we've got 14.05.
Mm-hmm.
Dot 030. And 14.12?
Mm-hmm. Or sorry, 040. 14.05.040 and 14.12. Motion to approve.
Okay.
Could I ask, this is Christina, could I just ask for a clarification from Jesse when the comments from FEMA will be addressed? Are they going to be, is that part of this motion or is that later?
No, it wasn't a requirement. It was just voicing concern on that, and I responded and haven't.
Not the critical areas issue. The changes that she made in the ordinance.
Oh, those have already been updated, and they're ready to go. Ready for legal review once again. So those I've been working on those this week. All of those have been updated. Yes.
Okay. All right, thanks.
So similar, just a procedural question. So from here, it will go to City Council. From there, it will go to FEMA. Mm-hmm. If there are any changes at either the council level or to get final FEMA approval, will it come back to us with those changes?
Yes, I believe it will. To give a definite answer, I would have to consult with our legal team, but I don't see why it would hurt. And so we'll have 90 days if we have to make adjustments. And so I think that's plenty of time to take it back to the Planning Commission. I don't know how many Planning Commission meetings that would involve, but if that is a desire of the PC, then we can definitely make that happen.
Okay. Is there a commissioner who would like to make the motion to approve North Bend Municipal Code 14.05.040 and 14.12 floodplain management regulations?
This is Commissioner Bush. I'd like to make a motion to approve the Municipal Code 14.05.040 and 14.12.
Motion has been made by Commissioner Bush. Is there a second?
Torgerson, second.
Seconded by Commissioner Torgerson. Is there any further discussion? All right, we have a motion that's been moved and seconded to adopt North Bend Municipal Code, changes to North Bend Municipal Code 14.05.040. and 14-12 floodplain management regulations. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Jesse.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, commissioners. Okay, moving on. The next item is also a public hearing, and the topic is North Bend Municipal Code 18.10.030, the Urban Separator Overlay District, and some limitations on upper floor dwelling units. Jamie, are you leading the way on this one?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
So that starts on page 40 of your packet, and what I will do is share my screen. I provided the full table for background information, probably painfully more than you wanted to see. And actually, council had a work study on Tuesday of this week, so two nights ago. And this came about because there is a, can you guys can see my screen, I assume now?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So we're looking at the zoning map right now. So I'll point out a few things, and then I'll go to the land use designation map, and I'll point out a few things. So what's happening is you're probably familiar. There's a sewer utility local improvement district being, it's been formed. You need, I believe it's 60% interest in property. And so that has happened, and it includes the entire area here that I'm circling, that is the Urban Separator Overlay District. It shows up over here in the legend with the red hatch. So it has blue. It came from the neighborhood business zone, which is the solid blue neighborhood business commercial zone. But when you look at the permitted use table, it shows up under its own column. So the intent of it at the, you know, at the time it was created, and as you read in the documents probably, is it was intended to be a less intense developed area. It's surrounded by all this green space. we really haven't seen development happen there because we don't have sewer. Water is limited. It does exist up Bulch, and so everything that you see is on septic at this point. And then the other piece of it is this area here that is older homes, single family homes on larger lots. And that has a 2 unit per acre zone residential right now. And so you've got those couple pockets of the USOD with the blue. The sewer utility improvement district also includes this area, this EP1 area, which is Nintendo and other properties that there's interest, quite a bit of interest in this one right now. There's been talk about these other parcels that have some critical areas, some steep slopes, and this creek going through here. So there's some development potential in the EP1. By bringing the ULID forward, I think there's concern that, so now if we get sewer, you know, what if somebody comes in with a huge apartment project or something big? And so there was concern, I think, about seeing that in this area. The upper floor dwelling units, you can, the density is one every 1,000 feet, 1,000 square feet of lot area, you get one unit. So an acre's 43,560 square feet. So, you know, divide that by 1,000, you'd get 43 units per acre. I believe I did my math right. So that is where the amendment came from. And it was one of those that we reviewed the permitted use table about a year, year and a half ago. And, you know, there's so many different uses that either we just kind of glossed over it at that time or didn't worry about it yet. But consensus from council was to remove the residential uses in this area, you know, more of a small business services that kind of some of the stuff you see there now. You see the gym, you see a motorcycle shop. Those are all allowed. Chinook Lumber moved from there, so there's still potential for that lumberyard space, which is right here, to be used for something else. We've got the welding shop on the corner here. We've got another business over here. And then the ball fields project is right here. And so that's kind of what's going on in the area. Let me go down to the next page. There we go. So just to show you our land use designation map, which sets the framework for the zoning. This is in our comprehensive plan. So again, we've got parks and open space surrounding this area. And then the yellow is a residential, the purple is a commercial, and then the employment park is gray. So, you know, the employment park should provide jobs, should provide employment. It also allows some commercial uses. And then, like I said, these commercial areas here, they have some light industrial, and there's just a mix of different things allowed. The yellow left over here, so something we've kind of tossed around is, you know, that's not the highest and best use for those properties. Likely some will be redeveloped. So if we keep it residential, that's what it's going to be, and it's going to be maximum 2 units per acre. You'll also see, let's see if I can zoom in here, kind of an interesting little piece here. This is 14th, I believe. Yeah, this is 8th, so this is 14th that comes across here. And you've got Gardner Creek, but in reality, this road does not exist right now. It shows as though it's right of way, and I would have to verify that to be true. But the point being, this could be a really good connection to this area. When you get off coming, you know, from the west and you're coming down past the casino, if there is ball fields and you're going out this way, or there's something to draw you out here. There was talk about maybe a small wedding venue on this parcel. This road could be a really nice connection. And I think there's interest in maybe changing the land use designation to commercial instead of residential. So that's kind of down the road, not what we're doing tonight. I guess the only other thing to really point out is, you know, you can go down the table and see all the different uses allowed in this USOD. And, you know, we did go through some of that with council, and they were like, well, what about this? What about that? You know, what we want to kind of talk about things. I think the focus right now is, because the ULIT's coming, we want to get the upper floor dwelling units out of there, just because of the density concern. So it shows up right here. They're allowed in some other zones. And then the only other real residential type developments or types of land uses are the adult family homes and the boarding houses. We haven't had any interest. We haven't had any interest in either three of these types of development, but the public hearing was noticed for the upper floor for this amendment on page on the page I'm on right now, 43. So just taking the permitted use out for upper floor, so a mixed use, which is probably something we want to see more in the downtown, not in this area. So looking for your thoughts and your input, and we're likely, I think, canceling the July 9th meeting. So if you all are willing, or, you know, willing and ready to make a recommendation, you can tonight, but we can open the public hearing and see if anyone's on the other side.
Okay, Jamie, is that it?
Yeah.
For a way of introduction. All right. Well, then I will open the public hearing to take public testimony on potential amendments to North Bend Municipal Code 18.10.030. Are there any members of the public who would like to offer testimony on this topic tonight? Second call. Final call for any public testimony on this topic. Hearing none, I guess I should have officially opened the public hearing. I think the time was, I'm going to say 7:34 when the public hearing was opened. I'll now close the public hearing at 7:36 and we'll open it up to Planning Commission conversation. Any commissioners wish to start us off?
I have a question, Commissioner Belenko here.
Sure, go ahead.
It was noted that there was a work study on the 23rd, I think you referred to it, Jamie, a council thing. And then it talks about in the council agenda bill, county consideration. I don't understand the county piece of this.
Let me look here.
Okay.
I think I'm still sharing my screen, right?
Yeah, you do.
Okay. Well, I guess that's okay. I can't see that I'm sharing my screen, so it's just kind of weird. But maybe that's a typo. Okay, so what do we say?
It's under committee review and recommendation.
Right.
CED.
Oh, unrecommended council consideration. Yeah, good catch.
Okay.
I was probably thinking about something with King County and wrote that down. Okay, I can fix that. Good catch. No, the county wouldn't be involved.
Thank you very much. And I do have another one if you want to take that one too, or I can
sure.
Let
someone else. Yeah, no, go ahead. Keep going.
Did I hear this wrong? No, wait a minute. I read this because I had my floodplain hat on. And it looks like much of the USOD is in the floodplain. Is that correct?
Yes.
So how does that affect commercial lending as far as FEMA putting requiring flood insurance on a commercial building?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they, and I don't, Jesse might be able to chime in more on commercial insurance versus residential. They're required to have it as far as I know. Now, commercial can be flood-proofed instead of flood-resistant or elevated. Right. So, you know, like Bartell did, but it, you know, in the entire city of Snoqualmie is in, a lot of it's in floodway. Right. So it's a similar situation. It adds a little bit of cost at the time of development. And the big issue or big consideration is the compensatory storage. So when you develop a site, you really have to minimize how much you're taking out, how much you're putting in, the cut and fill. And you have to, that has to equal out so that you're not displacing. And that includes the building footprint. So it's a tricky engineering and then showing that you've surveyed and met all the flood regulations. But it's very possible to develop in the floodplain. It's a little bit more work.
Yeah, I can't speak for exactly the cost of insurance, but it, because it's non-residential, it could be flood-proofed, so water can flow through it. There's certain measures you have to take, materials you use. You have to make sure that electrical outlets are above a certain height. And the higher up you flood-proof it, the cheaper the insurance is. But raising, you know, having the lowest structural member above the floodplain with the freeboard is the cheapest way.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other commissioners?
Yeah, I've got a question. I guess I'm kind of at a loss here with the purpose of this, the removal of this, for two reasons, and see if you guys can address it for me. The first, I've through these meetings, it seems like we've been trying to move away from overlay districts. Is this a reinforcement of this district? Is this one that's been addressed as one we want to keep? And then the second thing is, it seems, since it says here on the agenda that this USOD allows for bed and breakfasts and other residential ideas, I guess I'm not seeing why we would limit it, the upper floor dwelling units from this, because that would seem to me as discouraging a potential commercial build in this area versus encouraging. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So if you allow a couple things, I guess, if you allow the upper floor dwelling units, you're going to get just the first floor, retail or commercial. A portion of that first floor will probably be parking. You see what, like the Phoenix Plaza, you know, they're going to have a very small footprint of retail. And then behind it, there's going to be parking. And then there, I don't remember, 28 units above or something. So you end up with a lot more residential. And then at 1,000 square feet per unit, you can really pack that in. So it, and mixed use, you know, a lot of times you'll see it, even in Redmond, it took forever for it to take off. You would see mixed use buildings where the retail was either converted to residential or just sat vacant. So there's that concern. As far as the overlay, you're right. So this one is a bit more tricky, because I think it needs a bit more vision and words behind it in the comp plan, and we can also show that in the code. It was created because of all that open space around it. It's probably morphed over time to, let me get to the map, to be a lot more like the neighborhood business. It still has a 30-foot height limit. It has less impervious surface allowance, 80 instead of 100. It has, I'm not sure why it's doing that. Maybe I should stop sharing. And it has different setbacks and then the floodplain. So this is not as confusing as an overlay as the other ones that we have going on in the city. I guess that's a bigger project. And like I said, the council did talk about bed and breakfast, the boarding houses, senior housing is also allowed, and they had interest in removing them too. We would have to either keep your public hearing open or have council hold one. And the direction from the mayor was just have the planning commission focus on this amendment tonight. And if they support it, make a recommendation, and then we'll take it to council. And they'll do the same thing. But I do think that we should come back and take out the rest of those residential uses if we don't want them, and look at and see if there's anything else, and maybe create a better vision for the zone. So we still have these overlays that we need to work on. So this is kind of a short fix or a quick fix on one issue that popped up.
Yeah, so, I'm okay with the short fixes. That's fine. I just, it helps to hear that there is a move away from the residential. Like I said, the main concern really for me is we obviously haven't seen the improvements that we would like to see, the growth that we'd like to see out there. And so limiting the uses seems counterintuitive to me.
Mm-hmm.
But that makes sense.
Yeah. And you know, there are a lot of uses allowed. So by taking away a couple, there's still a lot that's allowed, you know, and council talked about hotel being allowed there and a little bit of concern around that. And then somebody said, well, I once stayed at this lodge place that was surrounded by open space and it was great. And then, you know, the council was like, oh, that's a great idea. You know, maybe I wouldn't be opposed to a hotel in that area. With 30 feet, you know, you're not gonna get three stories even, but so either way, it would be a low profile. But and the other use we talked about was the outdoor storage. So that's allowed in this zone, the USOD, and in the EP. And there was discussion about that. And well, do we want outdoor storage in this USOD? And it came down to their thought was employment park should provide employment. And so we'd almost rather take it out of there and leave it in the USOD, and with proper screening and paving and landscaping and everything, maybe it wouldn't be so bad, and it's a need for our citizens. So yeah, it's always give and take.
Anything else, Commissioner Bovers?
No, that's it for me.
Okay. Any other commissioners wish to weigh in on this? Okay. Hearing none. So, Jamie, your recommendation then is to approve.
Yeah.
The proposed changes, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right. And I guess if there's consensus from you guys that you all feel the same about removing other residential, I can pass that along. And, you know, and like I said, either council can hold another public hearing if they want to change more, or they can hand it back down to us. Or we just deal with this now and then it pops up later. So that's kind of up to you guys.
Yeah, and actually, you know, I don't think procedurally we are limited on how we would amend the tables. So if we collectively supported making changes beyond just what staff has recommended and what council has recommended, I don't think there's anything that limits us from doing that. The council can disregard those recommendations and approve its own version of the ordinance.
Yeah, so I guess just to clarify, it could be a recommendation from you, but it still has to go through the public process, because I notified this hearing very specifically for the upper floor. And so if we want to, if it does morph and that sticks, then either council or you has to have another public hearing to say, we changed it, we're adding these other uses to prohibit them, and give people a chance to comment. I didn't receive any comments yet at all for this public hearing. I'd have to double check the date for SEPA. If I get any, I'll pass them along, but I haven't yet.
If we don't recommend actual changes to the graph or to this code, then we can still just do it as a recommendation without going to the public hearing part. That's just you relaying to the council or right. any other groups.
Yes. Yeah. And if they take action, then it, or desire to take action.
Right.
They'd have to go back. Yeah.
Maybe. So we can amend as we collectively see fit, if there's mm-hmm. a majority of commissioners that support amendments beyond what has been recommended by staff.
Right. I think the cleanest way to do that, and Chair, you might know better, but is you would make a motion and vote on the upper floor and then be done with that. And then you would have consensus separate from that about other amendments.
Actually, I would say we would make the motion on the second floor that you've recommended, and mm-hmm. then a commissioner can offer an amendment to that motion that we would take independently, and then we'd have a final recommended version if any amendment were approved.
Yeah, I guess I just didn't know if that nullified your original motion, because again, it hasn't been through the public process, but we're here with a public hearing and we haven't had any public comments, so.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Any commissioners wish to make a motion? Okay. Well, hearing none, just to keep the conversation going, I'll offer the motion to approve. I guess this is this a draft ordinance, Jamie? AB20.XXX,
mm-hmm.
amending North Bend Municipal Code Table 18.10.030, permitted and conditional land uses related to upper floor dwelling units. Is there a second?
I second. This is Commissioner Torgerson.
Okay. Commissioner Tao has made the motion, seconded by Commissioner Torgerson. Is there any discussion? Okay. All in favor of recommending approval of the ordinance amending North Bend Municipal Code Table 18.10.030, permitted and conditional land uses related to upper floor dwelling units, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None opposed. Motion carried.
Great.
Thanks, Jamie.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on this beautiful night. Let's see. Do we have anything else? Adjournment?
Nothing else. Is there anything else that either you or Jesse, if he's still on, have for us?
So the next time you're scheduled is July 23rd. And we've got a couple development agreements brewing. So those will be interesting for you. And we'll wait and see. I think this is anticipated. And who knows if between now and then something will come up, but hopefully you guys enjoy your next month.
Something to look forward to. Commissioners, anybody
Jesse,
have any...
Jesse, did you have anything?
No, I was just going to say I have nothing.
Commissioners, any questions or any comments for the good of the order before we wrap up?
Have a safe 4th, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, I think we're ready to adjourn. Can I get a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting?
Commissioner Belanco makes a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting.
Is there a second?
This is Commissioner Bush. I second.
We have a motion to adjourn made by Commissioner Belanco, seconded by Commissioner Bush. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, everybody, we're adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Great job, as always.
Yeah, thank you, guys. And good luck to Jesse. He's going to have a baby any day.
Oh, no. Great.
Congratulations in advance.
Congratulations.
Is that your first?
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting. Very cool.
Yep. All righty.
Cool. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a safe 4th.
Yeah.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye.